Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Look Forward. I'm your host, Jay. I'm here with my co-host, Brad.
So I don't know about you, but I am walking into this week with a great sense of relief after one of the most harrowing moments in time in American history. Because, Jay, I don't know if you know, I don't know if you realize this, but for 85 minutes last week, we had a woman in charge of the presidential reins of the United States of America, because Joe Biden, that old octogenarian or septuagenarian man, I guess he's still a septuagenarian for right now.
For now,
had to get a colonoscopy.
Yeah,
and so had to be put in under anesthesia for this treatment, and so had to temporarily sign over presidential powers to Vice President Kamala Harris. And Jay, thank God, apparently she wasn't on her period. Otherwise, we probably would have gotten into a world war with Russia and China.
You never know. You never know with these women, according to conservative mindsets.
I don't know about
they'll
you.
They'll get on a period and start a war.
For that entire 85-minute stretch, I was just white-knuckling the entire time.
Look out, are we going to be okay? Yeah, it turns out we're going to be totally fine. It's not a big deal. She's a competent person. Yeah,
I did enjoy like all of the jokes that were just like, oh, like what if Kamala Harris, while she was president, like signed an executive order that was like, ah, limit all student death. And then Joe Biden wakes up. He's like, oh, I can't believe you did that. But I don't feel like undoing it. So I guess we just canceled student debt.
That would be fucking hilarious. I disagree with your actions. However, the final results, I totally agree with. So there you go. That would be a nice trick. To like give her presidential powers to do something like that, like right before, like at the end of their, like close to the end of their 8 years or whatever, let's say they mm-hmm. won re-election. And it's like, you know, a couple days out and it's like, all right, I got a routine thing, a medical thing. I'm passing the powers over to Vice President. And she just does like an executive move that people have been waiting for 8 years. And just like, boom, by the way, I'm running for president next week. Like, you're welcome, everybody. That would be a great move. Like, that's the kind of theater, like weirdly, Democrats would never do. Republicans would do shit like that.
Oh, 100%.
And it would work. Like, people would be like, oh, shit. Oh, mind-blowing. Like, it would, because it's, like, ridiculous and, like, TV show type of stuff.
My favorite coda to the Biden colonoscopy story, by the way. So, remember a couple of years ago when Trump mysteriously went to Walter Reed, and we didn't know why, and we assumed that maybe he had a stroke or something like that? Mm-hmm. Well, allegedly, according to Kaylee, or actually, no, I guess it was the other press secretary that didn't actually hold a press conference. I don't even remember her name because it's
irrelevant.
It is irrelevant. Allegedly, Trump actually went to Walter Reed in the dead of afternoon suddenly because he too needed to get a colonoscopy, and because he was so afraid that if he told people what he was doing, that the media would make fun of him for getting a camera shoved up his pooper, that he didn't tell anybody what he was doing.
Oh my God, dude. As far as I can remember back to, I mean, in my like, normal adult brain, I remember even Bill Clinton going under for a colonoscopy. Yeah. Like, it's a normal thing they do at their age. It's not unreasonable.
Turns out old guys need to have cameras shoved up their butt to make sure that there's nothing crazy going on.
Dude, no one's going to make fun of you. Like, no, like, sure, some people are going to make fun of you. Like, I'm sure there are people on the right who made fun of Joe Biden for getting a colonoscopy. But, like, you should get a colonoscopy. You're old. Like, you got to make sure everything is working.
To be clear, we would have made fun of him, but we would have done it while also still encouraging older men to get themselves checked out.
Yeah, get checked out. What the hell are you doing? Like, and if that's true, if that's the reason, mm-hmm. boy, is he a pathetic loser. Like, he's a really loser, is. Dude. Like, hey, why are you going to the doctors? I got to get a colonoscopy. Oh, all right, whatever, man. Oh, you getting a camera up your ass? Yeah, all right. Like, yeah, it's not a fun time for me either. All right, next. Like, Dick Cheney had to get, like, a heart replaced. Like, relax.
Yeah.
Like, it's fine. Or one finally installed, I guess is a better way of saying it. So, yeah, that's really quite silly. So, yeah, she was president for 85 minutes. Yes, not a big deal, guys, because women can be president too. Like, it's fine. It's fine.
I too wait with bated breath for the Bob Woodward book, just titled 85 Minutes, the Kamala Harris
presidency. Oh, my God. The white knuckling of America.
What did she do? I don't know. She fucking sat in the office and chilled for a while.
You got to do one presidential thing, right? Like, what in that 85 minutes? You can't just sit in the office or sit in your normal office. Like, if I was president for like 85 minutes, like, okay, what can only the president do that's not like an international like incident, right? The eagle has landed. Bring me a Coke or like something. I don't know. Like I take a cruise around Air Force One.
Is the Diet Coke button still installed in the Oval? Can I go sit in the chair?
Right. Like I would do something. Like have my wife come in, take a picture of me, you know, with my feet on the Resolute desk. Like something, man. Like that's right. Suck it, Reagan. Like something, man. Like you got to do something. And I feel like I bet there's some sort of like White House tradition like that. Like a goofball kind of tradition that they do, just like an internal thing that's like known by like presidents and vice presidents only and like top tier staff that they do something like that, just like because it's kind of fun, right? Like,
yeah,
I'm sure Al Gore did. I'm like, it's just you have to do something. Like, I know I would, and I'd be like, yeah, that's right, it's my shit. Take a picture and be like, just like my feet on the Resolute desk, flipping the double bird, like, fuck you, Joe. And then he comes back and it's like, a video of it.
Make sure you're wearing a tan suit at the time.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, what will the right wing have to be outraged about?
Right. Then? Except for that picture of Ronald Reagan wearing one.
The same. Yeah. Well, you know, he's white, so he's allowed to. Speaking of things that white people are apparently allowed to do.
Perfect transition, Brad. You're a consummate professional. Kyle Rittenhouse, everybody. Acquitted on all charges this week. Yeah, I mean, I wish I could say I'm upset because that would imply that I didn't see it coming, right? Mm-hmm. I think we all saw it coming. It doesn't make it any less irritating. It doesn't make it any less disgusting. But the second his gun charges got tossed last week, the previous week that we talked about, it was a done deal, right? They weren't planning on putting this kid away and charging him with clearly anything, which is wild because we know – that the kid who sold him the AR-15 underage, when Kyle Rittenhouse was underage, is set to stand trial to possibly do 6 years. So I'm
partially surprised only because they did the thing that prosecutors like to do when they're swinging a big stick at somebody, trying to hit him up on usually murder charges or you know, something like that. And if they're not sure if it's in the bag, and like you said, because of the actions of the judge and, you know, throwing out the gun charge in particular, and just kind of the climate of things, they did also include lesser charges to the jury as well. So, like, what they'll do is, like, it'll be a murder charge, but we'll also throw manslaughter on there, so... A lot of times juries will bite on that to be like, well, I don't think it was murder, but he definitely killed somebody. So we still think he should be punished. So they'll convict him on the manslaughter charge, but not on the higher murder charge. And they did that this time. And they still found him not guilty. And I think it's important to remember that Kyle Rittenhouse is being judged by a jury of his peers. It wasn't like he was being judged by 12 liberal people in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Right. Like he was being judged by the citizens of Kenosha, Wisconsin. And if you believe the political lay of the land right now, the way things are in this country, half the citizens of this country are sympathetic with Kyle Rittenhouse and his actions, essentially. Yeah. Or maybe a little less than half. But that's still probably, you know, odds are 4 or 5 jurors were very sympathetic to that charge. I'd be interested, I don't know if they polled the jury to see how everyone voted, but I would be curious to know what the vote count was. In terms of guilty versus non-guilty, especially on the murder charges, just because I can't imagine that he didn't get off only probably because a handful of folks in the jury were willing to acquit him. So, yeah.
This story is going to tie into this story and the next story are going to tie pretty solidly into the third. But what I would say is, you know, there's also the aspect in – I feel like people are – dancing around it, but in different mm-hmm. ways than the point I'm going to make. Kyle Rittenhouse is a kid, right? Mm-hmm. That doesn't make him innocent, right? Like, him being a young white guy, a young white kid, right? He's, you know, 19 now. He was 17 at the time. Or he's 18 and he's 17 at the time. The way that, like, young black and brown kids are treated in this country, Tamir Rice, for instance, Michael Brown, for instance, those were also kids. Tamir Rice was a preteen. He wasn't even a teenager, right? Mm-hmm. Trayvon Martin, you know, these are kids. Kyle Rittenhouse is also a kid, right? But he's actually given the kid status by the right, where Tamir Rice, Trayvon Martin, Michael Brown are not given kid status, right? Which is the problem because they're all children. I think he is guilty. I think he should have absolutely been found guilty. I think they should have thrown the fucking book at this kid. But one of the big reasons of anybody paying attention could tell he was fake crying. Like, I mean, that was super obvious, right? Like, he wasn't even good at it, right? He wasn't like he yeah. was really bad at it. But him being a kid worked to his favor. Right.
And it did. And to that point, the difference also is that, like, you know, Michael Brown and Tamir Rice and Trayvon Martin didn't get to be kids because we didn't even get to
talk to them,
hear them tell their story. Like, they were just killed by the police or by vigilantes before it even got to that point.
Right.
To any kind of point with them. And that's why it's not quite as apples and apples to me in that instance, because it's not like those children were being charged with crimes. Like, they were just killed extrajudicially for existing, essentially. Yeah. So it's not quite the same thing.
No, but no, my point isn't. I understand your point, and I think that's a valid one, right? Versus like victim versus assailant, basically, right?
Yeah.
Like, my point is America doesn't treat those black and brown children 100%. Like children, and that's the problem. Like, Kyle Rittenhouse getting off to me is unacceptable, but I can understand in the mindsets of people on that jury, whether you agree with his actions or not, you believe his story or not, you're like, this is a kid, and this kid fucked up. Like, I'm talking as them, I'm not talking as myself. just so we're clear,
this kid fucked up. You know, two people are dead and
right,
another one injured. Like, that mindset of, well, he just made a mistake. Like, that
right. And then I again, like, I'm talking as these people's mindset. I'm not talking as myself. I think that's like, book, throw it at him. Okay, like, like, get another one and throw that too. So, but what I'm saying is, like, their mindset is likely this is a kid, and my guess is the judge. I mean, it's clear that the judge feels this way. This is a kid. We don't want to ruin this kid's life. Meanwhile, he killed two people. Same thing that happened with Brock Turner. Hey, you don't want mm-hmm. these few seconds to ruin this kid's life. And it's not that they're correct about those two people. It's just the idea of that mindset is never applied evenly across the board. That's mm-hmm. my point. And so Tamir Rice was a 12-year-old kid who had a BB gun. They pulled up and they shot him in less than 2 seconds. Right, I'm not exaggerating. You can watch the video of it. Right, they didn't ask him any questions. Nothing. They just shot him. Right, he was never allowed to be a kid in their eyes. Michael Brown was shot multiple times with his hands up. He was not allowed to just be like, oh, this is a wayward kid. Yeah, he's a big guy, but he's still a kid. He was young. Right, mm-hmm. Trayvon Martin was a kid, 13, 14 years old. He was a kid mm-hmm. by all accounts. If you saw them in normal society walking down the street, be like, that's a kid. So I can understand the mindset of a person who is sympathetic to, like, right-wing sensibilities saying, yeah, man, this is a kid, and I don't want to put this kid in jail. I understand the mindset. I don't agree with it, but I understand it. And his youth worked to his advantage.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is he was also 100% guilty. And again, throw all the books at him, but I can understand their mindset.
That's the part that's frustrating to me, is that I just don't understand. And again, we weren't on the jury. We didn't hear the full extent of the trial. We only got, you know, the clips that were shared, but he put himself into that situation. Like, regardless of whether or not you believe he was defending himself, and again, the people that were quote unquote assailing him did not have weapons, and he did. So, I mean, that kind of
the one guy had a weapon.
Oh, the one guy did. Okay,
yeah, the one guy did.
But Kyle Rittenhouse lives in Illinois. He doesn't live in Kenosha, Wisconsin. He made the choice, and his mother also made the choice to drive him to this protest
with an AR-15,
with a weapon. And what do you think the end result of that's going to be? Like, please tell me the positive outcome that could come from Kyle Rittenhouse being driven to this protest with a long rifle. Like, tell me what the upside of the situation is that doesn't end in that doesn't end in people dying.
Right, like. It's weird, right? Because he says, "Oh, I was going to be a medic." Where's your gauze? Like, what are you talking about? Like, dude, to me, one of the biggest telltale signs of bullshit. I mean, besides like you're carrying an assault weapon around, medics don't really do that. Like, that's not really. I don't know. It's not Call of Duty, guys. Like, it's a little odd. but one of the biggest telltale signs to me is the image of him holding the AR-15 with rubber gloves on. Why do you have rubber gloves on? You have them on so you don't get gunpowder residue on your hands. That's the reason. Like, that's the fucking reason. Did anyone ask that question? Hey, dude, what's up with the gloves? They're medical gloves for, like, when I do all my medicine work. Like, I don't know. Sometimes I gotta help with the gauze. I didn't bring any. Like, it's bullshit. It's bullshit. He went there to defend property and to kick ass and take names as he saw it. Shit went down. He shot and killed two people. Or he shot and killed one guy. Another guy came after him because they were like, oh shit, this kid's an active shooter. They tried to stop him. He killed another guy. A third guy was like, oh shit, this guy's killed two people. He's an active shooter. I'm gonna try to kill him. Or I'm going to try to stop him, not kill him, because he was behind him at one point. He could have just shot him, right? Like, I mean, he should have, right? Like, no offense, but he should have. He should have fucking blown his fucking head off. Hey, this guy killed two people. Boom, you're done. Like, what are we talking about, right? Good guy with a gun type of shit. But it would have still been taken as, you shot and killed this kid. That's how it would have been taken. But the problem is, white vigilantism is given these benefits of the doubt. Oh, they have mental illness. Oh, they're kids. Oh, they're this, they're that, right? They are given, and the thing is, I hate saying that because it sounds like I'm railing against those ideas as being bullshit, right? In this case, it is bullshit, but I'm not railing against it as a commonality of being, or like as a normal thing being bullshit. The problem is they're not used across the board. Like, that mindset is not used when you see black people doing something. I haven't heard one person talk about mental illness for that douchebag black dude who drove his car and killed all those people. I haven't heard one ounce of, well, he's got mental illness. I've heard, well, he's got a record for domestic violence. That's all I heard. Where's his mental illness? Should he get it? No. Put that guy in jail for fucking life. But what I'm saying is it's not equally distributed across these people. It's just simply not.
Case in point, you know, quite famously, the reason that, like, California, for example, has really restrictive gun laws, it's not because of a Democratic governor. It's because of Ronald fucking Reagan. Why? Because the Black Panthers saw a loophole in the system and they're like, cool, like, they want to let people open carry. Well, then we're going to fucking open carry. And if they don't like it, we'll be like, well, it's the fucking law. And they're just like, oh, shit, they're right. We better change the fucking law because these black guys are scared the shit out of us.
Right.
And that's exactly what happened.
That's why there is a bunch of open carry black organizations now. There honestly
should be. Like, I don't advocate for wider gun ownership, gun usage, anything like that. But at the same time, like, there are people who do believe in those ideals that are also on the left, who, you know, should fucking show the right wing. All right, cool. You want us to open carry. You want us to have weapons. You think that's cool all the time? Then that's what we're going to do.
I mean,
and
look,
the problem.
Go ahead.
The problem is now that this is the result of this situation, you're going to have a slew of right wing maniacs that show up to otherwise peaceful protests with guns and are going to fire them at somebody at the first sign of what they perceive as trouble, and more people will die or get injured. And they'll think that they're, well, you know, Kyle Rittenhouse, like, he got off, so I should too. And that's going to be the defense that their lawyers, you know, posit forward as trial. Whether or not it works, obviously it's going to, you know, differ based on the situation.
Yep.
From issue to issue. But now you are giving license to, ironically, more anarchy, which you claim to want to fight against. Like you guys are the law and order party, but in actuality, you're inviting more chaos to the streets, which is what a lot of people would want on that side of the aisle.
Yeah. I mean, look, I cannot help but assume that this acquittal will do exactly what you said, which is embolden people to bring more guns, more AR-15s or long guns or whatever the shit, to otherwise peaceful protests, looking for a fight. And that will happen. People will get shot. People will get killed. It will stop people from wanting to do protests, right? It has a cooling effect. But before you get there, people on the left are going to start bringing guns. Mm-hmm. And you're going to have all-out gunfights. And this is not a good idea. If you think, like, well, they'll show them and they'll show them, whichever side of the aisle you're on. No, this is not – that's not – that eliminates the ability of right to assembly. That's a very cooling effect on a major part of the Constitution.
Yeah.
So you have to ask yourself, and this is the part of sort of right-wing ideology that I think should be taken very seriously and denounced in the strongest terms. This idea that the Second Amendment allows you to not just own guns, but to bring guns any and everywhere starts to get in the way of any of the other freedoms. Mm-hmm. If I go to a bar and I want to talk about whatever I want to talk about, loudly and proudly, they can kick me out or they can't, you know, they can kick me out or not. But if I know that everybody in there is packing, that's a cooling effect on my First Amendment rights. Right. Mm-hmm. Or not even First Amendment rights, just the right to say whatever I want. With the government is obviously not going to come in and do anything, right? Like, they're not going to come to the bar, but it stops people from having the ability to speak openly. Right. So which is not the same as the bar saying I can't say this. It's just a general cooling effect. Right. And right wingers would be like, oh, that's not true. But you guys were still pissed off that a couple of dudes from the New Black Panthers stood outside of a voting place. Why? The same exact reason, right? You made the argument, and they shouldn't have been there, right? Harassing people. But they were there harassing people as a cooling effect to stop voting. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing. But in this case, it's even worse, right? Because then you're starting to cool speech, which is not fucking okay. I'm not a fan of this acquittal. Again, I think Kyle Rittenhouse should have done significant time for what he did. Mm-hmm. Right. Like, I get that he's a kid and they're probably not going to throw the book at him if he were Kyle Rittenhouse, 35-year-old. I understand that. But Kyle Rittenhouse should have been like, that's cool. You're off the, you were out of society for 15 years. Like, good day.
Yeah.
Good day. Like, you need a serious cooling off period in your life to understand that what you did was fucked up. Because if you go back, and if you do some research on him, like, there's video of him like punching a girl in the face. Like, this kid's got some fucking problems. He does.
Yeah. And again, this acquittal, by acquitting him, saying that you agree with the fact that he was acting in self-defense, you're alleging that the people that he killed were approaching him with to do lethal harm, which they were not.
Right.
Like you said, they were mostly defending when they saw that he was opening fire on people, which is that right there.
Right.
I don't know,
by the way, just quickly, what is the reason for the initial engagement? Right. Have they ever gotten down to brass tacks about what that was? What initially got him to fire?
So he said that the first guy that he killed chased him and made a grab for Kyle Rittenhouse's gun to like wrestle it away from him. And he said that he was afraid his rifle was gonna be taken away from him and then used to kill him. So that's why he thought he had to act with lethal force.
But why?
And then that, because he's a child that didn't belong anywhere near where he was.
No, but I'm saying, why would the guy just randomly come after him and be like, I'm gonna take your gun and kill you? Why?
Oh, I see what you're saying. What is the initial engagement? That I don't know.
Again, and I feel like that's never been answered.
Fucking gun. Yeah, because he's pointing his fucking gun at people.
Right. Like, I feel like that question's never been answered.
Yeah.
Because it's a big one. If, like, there are people walking around with long guns, dude. They're not just randomly running up to some. Like, there were people there with long guns, right? Other right wingers with long guns. None of them killed two people.
That's what it was. Is that they? Prosecutor said that he was creating a dangerous situation in the first place because he was pointing his rifle at demonstrators. So basically he was threatening to shoot them.
There you go. So the rules of engagement are you are in fact showing a level of aggression.
Yeah.
Okay. But again, him being a kid works in his favor. My thing is I'm not okay with that, but I don't want people to not treat kids as kids. I want them to treat kids as kids across the board. If you're considering Kyle Rittenhouse to be less of a threat because he's a child, which I don't agree with in this case, you got to look at Michael Brown. You got to look at Tamir Rice. You got to look at those people as children too. You have to.
Yeah.
And that's the problem is America doesn't.
There's a few silver linings that do come out of this case. I do think that people are now more aware of down ballot elections because the judge in this case showed himself to be clearly incompetent. And you come to find out that he's literally been sitting on the bench for longer than I have been alive. Mm-hmm. And it's because he keeps running unopposed in elections because no one cares about judicial elections. No. So maybe you should. Maybe people should start running. Like the good news for me is that when this judge runs again, there will be someone to challenge him, and hopefully he will be voted out of his seat because he absolutely does not deserve to hold anymore if he doesn't retire, which would honestly be the smarter way to go if I were him.
Yeah, I mean he's old enough, like to shuffle off.
Yeah, but so I mean there's that at least. I think this case also. Because of the actions of the judge and because of everything else is going on is more fuel to allowing cameras in federal court, which currently is not something that's able to happen. But there have been many many lawyers and people in law that have argued that point. Like we need to have cameras in federal court. We need to have cameras in the Supreme Court. Like people should be allowed to watch.
I think so.
Supreme Court arguments if they want to. Like why are we doing all this behind closed doors?
Yeah,
like American people deserve to see how their justice system is working.
Yeah, I've heard from many quotes from justices saying, well, you know, we don't want to play to the camera and all this other stuff. Horseshit. You play to the cameras whether they're there or not. That's why you give grandiose speeches and shit like that.
Right, and when you write your opinions, you're playing to public sentiment.
Right. So, knock it off. Like I'm not, I'm not buying that as a reasoning, at all. Okay. Next up, U.S. has been labeled a backsliding democracy for the first time. I think this has everything to do with the Kyle Rittenhouse story. Let me rephrase that. Mm-hmm. I think the Kyle Rittenhouse story is another face as to why. On the dodecahedron of hate and bigotry, as to why we are listed now as a backsliding democracy for the first time by a European think tank. I know what you're thinking, conservatives. Ain't no Euro trash going to tell me about democracy. This is probably Joe Biden's fault. Not exactly. The United States, for the first time, was added to a list of backsliding democracies in a report released Monday by the Stockholm-based International Institute for Democracy and Electoral Assistance. Sounds very official. Quote, the United States, the bastion of global democracy, fell victim to authoritarian tendencies itself and was knocked down a significant number of steps on its democratic scale. The study, which analyzed trends from 2020 to 2021, found that more than a quarter of the world's population now lives democratically in democratically backsliding countries. Wow, that is fucking horrifying.
Yeah.
Which international idea defines as nation seeing a gradual decline in the quality of its democracy. Do you agree with that? Yes or absolutely yes?
100% yes. I mean, for fuck's sake, when you have a former leader of the country who was a wannabe authoritarian, when you have prominent politicians and citizens, like an appreciable number, who don't accept the results of free and fair elections, when you have people that are, again, trying to extrajudiciously hold people, you know, to account from a law and order standpoint on the streets without going through due process. These are all things that contribute towards not having a democracy that's on very stable footing. There is a reason that most civilizations in the world, most governments, most rules have not lasted strongly for more than like maybe a couple hundred years. And certainly, like, from a democratic standpoint, we are the longest running in the world at this point. These kind of blips from a civilization standpoint are inevitable. Every civilization, every government will experience issues like this eventually at one point or another, because there eventually becomes a group of people who really just like to be in power and will do anything that they can to ensure that they stay in power, because at the end of the day, that's what it really amounts to, because with power comes money and with money comes control. So this is our moment now, our first real one. I guess you can count the Civil War as a check on democracy as well. So maybe our second real moment like this. Right. And so how we respond is going to be everything. And it's not going to be how we respond tomorrow. It's going to be how we respond over the next, you know, decade, two decades, essentially. And right now, I don't feel great about it. Like, I'm not feeling too hot about the way things are trending at the moment.
Not a lot of positive, not Mr. Vibes only over here.
The vibes are bad, Jay. The vibes are bad.
Good vibes only, Brad. Good vibes. As young people tell me, I don't listen to them because that's ridiculous. Young people, I mean, not good vibes. Look, in all seriousness, this should be one of the many canaries that is dying in the coal mine. Okay. If like think tanks are now like, dude, shit is going awry, pay attention. This isn't just liberals saying it. This is not just conservatives saying liberals are bad, or liberals are saying conservatives are bad. These are people from the outside saying, you guys were the bastion of democracy. What is happening? But I made this analogy a long time ago. My wife made this analogy, and I mentioned it on the show, and I think I still stand by it, which is, when you are going through therapy, it has to get real fucking rough before you get to the good part, right? Till you make a breakthrough. And you know, you gotta have your stages, right? You gotta have your Obama stage, which was a major change. That was going to therapy. Like, Obama was the America going, oh, all right, we've been talking about going to therapy for like a long time, and we met somebody and they were like, I really like you, but we can't date until you go. And we were like, fine, we'll go. And we went, we're like, hey, this isn't so bad. And then we started bringing up shit. They were like, oh no. And that's the Trump era, right? That's the unearthing of shit that, like, unite the right and all that, which we'll talk about this week. They're back, but in a good way for
not,
us.
Not in the way they want to be. So.
No, it's great. less money, more problems. So, you know, it's you know, that was unearthing all of that trauma and shit like that that we've been trying to bury and pretend isn't there. You know, like kind of pro-Nazi shit that has been, you know, bubbling under the surface in white America for a long time. And you know, I'm cool with a black president, like, but not really, you know, type of shit. And like all of this like bigotry and racism and homophobia and all this stuff that's been at the surface. Sometimes it bubbles up a little bit. Sometimes it doesn't. That Trump era brought it all out. That like just that vile fucking hatred for liberals and conservatives and, you know, just fighting each other and literally a global pandemic happening. And these people are just like still on this bullshit, right? Like that's the deep, hard part of therapy, right? We're still in that section. And this backsliding democracy, we're still in that where people go to therapy and they're like, well, this sucks. And then they stop going. But you got to go all the way through it. Got to go all the way through it till you reach that point where you're like, now I'm ready. Now I'm ready to get back out there. I dealt with my shit. Now I got to get ready. It's going to be a while. We're going to be in it for a while. And if we do it right, if we do it right, we can come out the other side in a better country. We really can. But there's a whole lot of people that are going to do some dirty shit. And they're going to, and people are going to die. People are going to get hurt. People are going to say and do things that are seemingly unbelievable in the name of their freedom or whatever, or their political ideology. But we got to work through it. We got to keep going. We have to.
Unfortunately.
If that's how it works, it might just be we all just die.
Yeah.
It could be just.
Unfortunately, the vanguard against sliding down the fucking tubes of democracy is not liberals and progressives. It's rational conservatives and what they're willing to, what they're willing to abide. And so far, through the last 5 or 6 years, they've been willing to abide a lot. Only a handful of them have really been strongly speaking out about. So I'm going to need them to get their shit together and to put a fucking line in the sand and to fix their shit. You know, get your fucking people sorted out, conservatives, because like this cannot abide. Progressives and liberals will continue on our side of the table fighting about the shit that we fight about all the time, but still hopefully remaining relatively united at the end of the day when it comes to common cause. You guys need to do your own little group therapy session and work through your issues so you can come join the rest of us at the big kids table. Problem is, I'm not bullish on the prospect of that happening anytime soon.
Yeah. I'm not either. Again, that's what I'm saying. Like in this analogy, like, it's going to be a minute, like it's going to be years, right? But I also believe that, like, there's part of me that believes in America. Like, I hate to say this because it sounds insane, but there's part of me that thinks that we can rise to the occasion because we have to, right? Not in that like bullshit. Like, not in that bullshit, like, we're the greatest country ever. No, I think sometimes we rise to the occasion because we literally don't have another choice, and we'll destroy ourselves if we don't, right? That's what I'm hoping on. I'm not banking on it. Hoping on it. There is a massive difference between banking on it and hoping on it. I'm hoping that people get broken out of this cult. And I mean that. I truly mean that. You right now, you have people literally in Dallas still. Remember we made fun of the JFK Jr. fucking nutbags who were like, we're going to go to Dallas.
They're still there.
And they're still there. They're still there because they don't want to admit that they were wrong. That's what it is, right? Like, you don't stay there now. Like, they don't think like, oh, tomorrow it's going to be the day. No, you cannot admit you're wrong. But eventually, that cult's got to break. It's got to break. It has to break in order for us. Like, you got to break people of that fucking control so that those 50% of those nutcases will go, all right, I might have been fucking up. Like, that's crazy. Like, they don't have to be liberal all of a sudden. They just have to not believe in madness, like pure madness. Like, believe in trickle-down economics. That wasn't so bad. Like, Okay, financially, I mean, you're bad. Stupid. No, I'm saying financially, it's fucking stupid. Believing that JFK Jr. is going to come back to life and being a Republican is makes trickle-down economics look pretty easy, right, in comparison.
Yeah.
So
the problem is, though, is that in order to get those people, like the citizenry, to come along for that ride, you need someone as charismatic as Trump, but not insane. And the problem is that currently in the right wing, there's no room for that person. Like there's nothing to be won by being that person. There is something to be won by racing to the bottom to go to the fucking Trump land right now. So if you're not going to have someone that's going to shepherd these people back to the light, I guess you could say, I don't know how you get them there. Like it would literally take, I don't even know what it would take. Like, cause I would say it would take something like a pandemic, but here we fucking are. And we had a pandemic and it didn't do jack shit. And I think part of the problem too, so you mentioned, you know, coming together cause we have to kind of thing, which to me, I know you weren't intending it, but that's some jingoistic nonsense. The problem is that I don't,
about to attack because that's the only way.
That's about the only thing. I mean, yeah, and even then, like, you know, like the Democrats probably did this. Like that's probably where, you know, what you'd get there.
It's the plot of Watchmen, right? It's the plot of Watchmen. Yeah, that's literally what it is. And, you know, that didn't really, I mean, it worked out, but like, not really.
What truly unites all of us as Americans? Because honestly, for the life of me, I can't think of much. I mean, because I truly, over the past several years, like, I don't really, like, get down with, like, my country.
Brad. Hey.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
I'm not sitting there, like, not, you know, I'm not fucking waving the flag and, you know, being, you know, proud to be an American, like, kind of bullshit. Like, I'm not fucking, you know, standing up tall during the national anthem at sporting events anymore, holding my hand to my heart. Like that's like all that kind of shit. I just don't feel that right now because there is nothing, there is no spirit right now in this country that unifies all of us together. Or at least I don't think so.
There was one.
Yeah.
And the cult ruined it. There was one thing all Americans agreed on. This is how fucked that cult is. And I'm talking about like the QAnon shit. This is how fucked it is. It ruined the one thing we all agreed on. We all agreed that Tom Hanks was great. We all agreed Tom Hanks was great. Everyone liked Tom Hanks. Everyone did. You maybe didn't like Forrest Gump, you fucking lunatics. Right? You maybe didn't like all of his movies.
Forrest Gump.
There's some people do. Like, I've seen people write that on Twitter. I'm like, what planet are you from? Come on, man. It's a great movie. It wasn't that great.
I guess, you had to be there. It was amazing. It was amazing how they filmed it.
It was kind of a, like, dude, it was the Ted Lasso of its day. Relax, you fucking millennials. Relax. Or Xennials, I don't know. Young people. But the most important thing is, like, Tom Hanks was agreed upon as a thing that everyone liked. Everyone liked Tom Hanks. And they ruined it. They were like, now he's a pedophile. Like, I think they picked him solely so they could divide people. I truly do. Like, because if you could buy into that, you could buy into anything, right? But that was the one thing we had. That's it. They ruined Tom Hanks. So, yeah, I don't think we have anything else. I truly don't think we have anything else that brings us together, which tells me that maybe the story of America isn't us rising to the occasion. Maybe it's us breaking apart. And I think maybe if we cannot do it via a giant civil war, that would be great. That some president, no, I'm serious. That some president comes in and says, look, I hear you. I'm going to run for president. And my vice president is a guy I like vehemently disagree with. And we're our goal is to separate the country. Like, and I don't know when 100 years from now. I don't know. But I don't see another outcome.
Let me bounce you this one off you real quick. It'll blow your mind. Ready? America has truly never been a united country. because the North South divide existed from the get go. Like literally when they were writing the Constitution, people in the South were like, I want to count on my slaves. And people in the North were like, no, how about we do 3/5? And they're like, all right, cool. Let's get this fucker signed. Like it's literally never like the South has always
never melded aggrieved by
the North. And then we had a civil war. And then we're just like, come on back. And the South, like, we still kind of fucking hate you guys. Like, so we're going to treat black people like shit because we're mad. Like that's literally fucking happened. I mean, it's kind of gone.
I mean, it's not like the North was like great about it either. Better, but not great about it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I think maybe that's the solution, is that the country breaks up. Look, I got to tell you, if it's a bloodless thing and it's just like, we just go our way, I'd love to see it in my lifetime. I would. I would. Yeah, honestly, I wouldn't mind it. I'm telling you, if we broke up in 20 years, we could have a pretty good fucking life in, you know, New America or whatever. Because they can have the name.
Well, 100%. So maybe the breakup would be amicable, but the aftermath wouldn't, because all of the fucking right wing states would collapse into like a fucking destitute third world poverty country. And then they try to invade us.
Yeah, within a year.
Because they're how dare you leave us to our fucking filth and crap? Like, yeah. Why didn't you tell us it was going to be this bad? And we're like, well, we tried.
Yeah. No, I'm telling you.
You want free healthcare too. Oh, now you want free healthcare.
Build a wall! Build a wall! I support the giant dome. Yeah, I support the dome. Like, you know, initiative 111 dome over New America. That's fine. I don't know. I don't know. But this idea of it being us being a backsliding democracy, is real. It's very real. And I don't know that we can recover. I don't know that we can. I'd love to see us recover. I'd love to see us go through that sort of political therapy and make it out the other side in a better, than when we started. But I think you're right. The North and the South have never mended together. They've never melded together. They haven't. And that's a fundamental disconnect in why we cannot get certain shit done. If the North was by itself, we would have had free healthcare. We would have had, you know, equal pay by now, or, you know, largely equal pay, right? Because I'm not going to pretend like the North is fucking perfect. It's not. We would have a better economy, because we wouldn't have the certain states dragging us down. Politically dragging us down, and financially, our education would be better. You know, universally, it would be better. I think we wouldn't have such massive, like, you know, bigotry when it comes to like race and sex and, you know, gender, all this stuff. Yeah, of course, we still have problems, right? Because those things exist, mm-hmm. and people are dickheads, right? There are plenty of East Coast liberals who are just fucking douchebags, but. But you'd have less of it. You'd have less religious, sort of religious-based xenophobia and religious-based bigotry. You'd have less of it. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean you wouldn't have people who are religious, but you don't have the same level of, like, insane religious fervor that you have in the South.
Yeah.
But you just don't, right? And you could say that's a good or bad thing. I'm not religious, and neither are you, so my perspective is it's a good thing. But I can understand someone making the argument that it's not. But that's just my personal experience.
I don't think you can tangibly point to the entirety of human civilization and say that that wouldn't be a good thing to have religion less involved in our day.
I'm just trying to be welcoming to everyone. Yes, of course, Brad. I would agree with you, but I'm just saying that some people, you know, my people, black people, would say that, you know, having this religion kept us afloat. And that's true, right? Because of white people's bullshit. And we needed something to fucking hang on to. But it's 2021, dog. Like, yeah. I'm good. Like, we're not in the middle of, you know, chattel slavery. So I don't need to believe in the sky daddy to save me. But I get it. But that being said, I don't know what else you can do besides break the country up that's going to be the right solution for everyone, right? Every couple of years, the left says, we need to break the country up, right? Because we got a right-wing president and a right-wing Congress who's doing, like, horrible shit. And then the news media goes, the liberals are so stupid. How dare they talk about, you know, leaving this country? And then a couple years later, Democrats get in charge and Republicans do the same thing. And they're like, you're so stupid. Like, no, but maybe we're not stupid. Maybe we realize something that the news media doesn't, which is we don't work well together. Like, we just don't. We simply don't.
Well, but it's funny you say it, though, because they're in moving towards that. There's a lot of bitter pills that liberals would have to swallow as well, because really the way that you would get there, if such a thing were ever possible, would be to drive more towards a federalist society where states, you know, have sway. So unfortunately, you would see a lot more states passing laws that you really don't like and passing laws that you're fundamentally opposed to from a human rights standpoint to get there. Before we actually got to the breakup part of the situation.
Yeah, you're right.
So if that truly is something that you believe in, then you might have to swallow your pride a little bit when Texas is passing, 6-week abortion laws and things of that nature.
Right.
But
I hate to say that, but yeah,
probably. Like I said, I don't see how we can get to that point because we're a little too congregated together from a landmass standpoint. Because again, I being a man of history, look over at the continent to the east and we're like, man, those places are all really close together and they've had quite a few problems over the years because of their geography. And I don't see how breaking up into several different, societies and independent countries would be a good thing overall because we're too close. And when you want to go invade somebody, it's really easy to do that. So I think it would throw us into more of like a feudal society somewhat, or at least kind of have the echoes of that.
I gotta tell you, man, I'm just gonna move. I don't know, man. I'm serious. Like, I'm just gonna move.
Canada's nice. So
yeah. It's like America is just colder. Like, I just wish it was warmer there. Like, I would move to Canada if it was just warmer.
I mean, I like the cold.
Yeah, I know you do. That's your thing. That's not my thing. Yeah, democracy. It's reasonable. Got weed. Like, come on, man. Like,
yeah. Healthcare. A handsome head of state.
Yeah, I mean, that guy's kind of fucking up, but he's good looking.
Yeah, you know.
So, yeah, I don't know, man. I think I'm just gonna move. I don't know. I just live in a fucking beautiful fucking house in the middle of Bali, Indonesia. Just leave me alone. Does it have internet? That's enough. Don't talk to me. Don't call. Don't write. All right, next up, come on, docket. Moving a little slow here. Trump backed Sean Parnell, suspends his campaign. This isn't good. This guy, my docket is acting very weird. So, Brad, if you can give more details here. But this guy lost.
Absolutely. So basically, Sean Parnell is running for Senate in Pennsylvania. So he's running to get the Republican nomination so he can eventually fill that seat. So he was basically accused by his estranged wife of domestic abuse. And he's been trying to vehemently deny it, but his wife took him to court to get custody of their 3 kids. And the judge is like, yeah, I think he did that shit. So I'm going to go ahead and grant you full custody of these children. And because of this, he is now suspending his campaign, which I have to tell you was the most shocking news of the day, because I thought that him being credibly accused of domestic assault would actually embolden his campaign, because that gives him Republican bona fides in this new Republican Party.
Yeah, no, I thought that's exactly what they were going to do. I thought it was going to be like, yeah, this is the guy. Look how he beats his children. Like God intended. Like, wait, what? I mean, nothing. I don't put anything past the right wing at this point. Like,
they
do anything they want. But yeah, this guy is backed by Trump, and he's getting tossed, or he's tossing himself over.
Now, so that's good. How much do you want to bet that Donald Trump never mentions his name again? Like he's not going to talk about him. 100%.
He came out and said that he was disappointed that he was associated. They were saying that he was associated with this guy after he got busted for the shit. Like Trump was like, oh, why do they keep mentioning my name? Because you backed him, dude.
Yeah.
You backed him. And you're the de facto leader of the party. That's why.
Yeah.
You backed him. But yeah, so yeah, he's already on the who the fuck is Scott Parnell train. Already done.
Of course.
By the way, that train's a coming.
I don't know him.
It's right on time. And they threw Scott in front of it, or Sean in front of
it. Was he a coffee boy on my campaign as well at some point?
Never heard of him. Yeah, why would I endorse him? Did I?
The other weird story coming from this specific story is that apparently Mehmet Oz, and I refuse to call him doctor because he's not, is apparently running for Senate, like thinking about throwing his hat into the ring now, which would be fucking hilarious.
Yeah, buddy. Look, he gonna win.
God, no. Pennsylvania's not insane enough that they would just automatically put him in there. They're not. Who's their other senator right now? Who besides Pat Toomey is their senator currently?
I don't know. I only know Pat Toomey. I'm not sure who the
other. Okay. I mean, they have a Democratic governor.
All right, Brad. Okay.
I'm just saying.
You don't think it's gonna be you don't think it's gonna be Dr. Oz? Okay.
They voted for Biden.
Okay. It's Dr. Oz. Democrats
Who
like
gives
Dr.
a shit about Dr. Oz.
Democrats like Dr. Oz.
Sucks. No, yeah. Oprah likes Dr. Oz.
Everybody likes Dr. Oz. They
Who
do.
Who likes Dr. Oz?
People like Dr. Oz, dude. They do. Yeah,
Since
they do.
When?
Look at his ratings. People like Dr. Oz. He tells them to eat goji berries to lose weight, and they're like, this guy's a genius. Just saying, dude. People like Dr. Oz.
Again,
here's how much white people love Dr. Oz, just so you know. They love Dr. Oz so much that they would be shocked to know that Dr. Oz is Muslim. They don't know. I'm serious.
If I believe you, if the name didn't give it away.
He goes by Dr. Oz. He doesn't go by Mehmet. Course. Yeah, no, yo, I'm telling you, they're going to be like, what the fuck is Mehmet? Like, oh, no, it's Dr. Oz. Dr. Oz is Muslim? What?
Is this another Nikki Haley situation?
Yes.
Probably.
Yeah, of course.
He's going to change his first name to Martin. Dr. Martin Oz.
Yeah,
like,
Martin Oz.
Yes, it's me. Martin
yes.
Oz.
Martin Oz. You know, your old friend Martin. Yeah. Okay. All right, Mehmet. Look, I got no issues with... Dr. Oz as a personal brand. I have a lot of issues with him as a doctor, you know, telling people about medicine. Like, I have problems with those issues. Him talking on television and giving any sort of advice to people when it comes to health at all. Those are things I might have an issue with. But personally,
yeah, I feel like he's a doctor in the same way that, like, Dr. Drew is a doctor.
Dr. Drew is a doctor.
I know he is, but he's also a crazy person.
Like Loveline Dr. Drew?
Yeah, like Loveline Dr. Drew is like a right-wing lunatic.
Yeah, he's a fucking asshole. Yeah, attention. No, I know that.
Yeah, like he sucks. But yes, that Dr. Drew, yes, he may be an actual doctor, but he doesn't really give good doctorly advice.
Didn't Dr. Drew tell people like the vaccine was bullshit? I believe so.
Yeah.
I'm like, yo, aren't you like a sexual health doctor? What the fuck do you know about vaccines?
He does not know anything
about that. Yeah, he's like, I think maybe you shouldn't do a threesome with your boyfriend. Like, that's the shit I'm asking Doctor.
It's kind of like how I may trust Ben Carson to operate on my brain, but not to run my housing department. Like, kind of thing.
I would trust...
Like, those skills are not translatable.
I would trust... Ben Carson to work on my brain before I would trust Ben Carson to spell the word brain. Ironically. My luggage. That guy is dumb. Like, it's sad. This dude
lots
is...
Lots of doctors are dumb, so.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
Look, they know one thing.
Like Dr. Oz, who apparently is going to be the Republican nominee for Senate in the state of Pennsylvania.
You don't think he's going to win? You don't think he's going to win?
No, not if they run. Not if like John Fetterman runs against him.
No, that's true. Fetterman would beat him.
Yeah.
I hope. I mean, Fetterman would literally beat him. Yeah. No.
Like,
to death.
Fetterman would literally beat him up. Like,
yes. It would be WWE's Kane versus Dr. Oz. because that's who that guy reminds me of. He's awesome. But I would I'd love to see Oz get the nomination because I want someone to call him out on all his quack bullshit that he puts on TV. I'd be like, well, didn't you tell people to eat like dark chocolate to cure cancer? Knock it off. Don't vote for this guy. This guy's an idiot. That's a huckster.
So when you say someone, what you really mean is that Thugs of News are taking a road trip up to Pennsylvania.
Oh, I like that, Brad. I like that. Oh, you think we could get Dr. Oz on the show? Nah,
maybe
he's too big for us. He's too big.
We can inflate ourselves as being bigger. So
it's true. It's true.
We've got graphics and everything. Clearly,
yeah. Oh, these guys are professionals. How could they have possibly done it? Yeah, a little bit of work, some Photoshop. It's not that hard. Yeah, if Dr. Oz wins the nomination, I'm going to try to get an interview with Dr. Oz. I promise you that. If he gets the nomination, I will work hard to see if we can get him on the show. I'm going
to
be like...
Why do you think you're qualified to be a senator? And he'll be like, Tommy Tuberville's a senator. And you'd be like, that's fair.
You know what? End of interview. Fuck. Jesus Christ. What?
You hit me with the silver bullet.
Yeah, dude, you got me,
dude. I don't know what I can do.
I mean, fucking Louis Gohmert's in Congress. Ah, fuck. This guy's a genius. Maybe he should be there. Like, he deserves it. God damn. No, it would be funny to interview him. I just be like, but you said all of these things that have been, like disproven as being nonsense. Like, what's the deal? Goji berries? Click. Hang up and run away. We're coming for you, Dr. Oz. We're coming for you. Next up, this is a lovely story. Unite the Right organizers will pay $26 million in damages to a number of victims because of their hate rally. A jury ordered 17 white nationalist leaders and organizations to pay more than $26 million in damages because of the Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville, Virginia in 2017. After nearly a month-long civil trial, the jury in the U.S. District Court deadlocked on two key claims but found that the white nationalists liable on four other claims in the lawsuit filed by nine people who suffered physical and emotional injuries during the 2 days of demonstrations. As I saw someone say online, punching Nazis is great. Bankrupting them is even better.
Them again, because I'm pretty sure Richard Spencer is on the brink of destitution, as it were. Anyway,
good. Good. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what else to say, but like, celebrate good times. Come on. That's great.
I mean, we'll have to wait until the verdict gets appealed. Yeah, we'll have to wait until the decision gets appealed because obviously they're going to do that. But I cannot wait to fucking just completely bankrupt these motherfuckers. Absolutely. And again, you play stupid games and you win stupid prizes. Or actually, in this case, the plaintiffs are winning stupid prizes because they are getting all your money that you don't have.
Hey, it is what it is. But yeah, like I love that. I'm a big fan of it. Next up, lawyers who challenged the 2020 election are forced to pay up. Another great story. Lawyers who challenged the 2020 election are ordered to pay $187,000 in legal fees to the people that they sued. And I believe it's nearly $187,000 in legal fees after unsuccessfully challenging the results of the 2020 race, in which the federal judge called in defamatory and, quote, an abuse of the legal system. Counsel should think long and hard. Quote, counsel should think long and hard and do significant pre-filing research and verification before ever filing a lawsuit like this again. This lawsuit has been an abuse of the legal system and an interference with the machinery of government. I mean, look, you can't just throw a bunch of bullshit lawsuits at people who were working ballots and things like that. That's nonsense. So, yeah, again, this is another great –
Not only that, like they went after Facebook. Like, you think Facebook's lawyers aren't going to kick the shit out of you in court? Like, come on. What the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, dude. They have all the money in the world. They're in the metaverse, baby. Like, come on. Like, I don't even know what that means anymore. But yeah, I think that's wonderful. It's not enough money. Frankly, I hope.
They only had to cover the legal costs because they were the ones filing these lawyers were the ones filing the suit against these companies. So they lost, and the judge is like, "Cool, you lost, and you're on the hook for their legal fees because you sued them frivolously, essentially."
Yeah,
in this case.
But hey, Sidney Powell, Rudy Giuliani, y'all not off the hook yet. They got $1 billion cases against you assholes, and it does not bode well. I mean, I don't think they're going to get $1 billion from you. That's crazy.
I'll take half. Hell, I'll take a quarter.
Yeah.
Get 250 mil from Rudy Giuliani and Sidney.
He ain't got that money.
Nope.
Yeah, confiscate all of his properties. Take his veneers. Take it all. All of it. So, yeah, no, I think they should continue fucking these people up. Look, this is the best way to hurt the right wing, right? Is to hurt them in their pocketbook. It's the absolute best way. So, this is good. Next up, the January 6th committee is dropping some new subpoenas, new fire coming out. Dropping subpoenas on the Proud Boys and Oath Keepers, as well as Alex Jones and Roger Stone. I kind of love that. And all the panel.
I'm not going to enjoy the spectacle that arrives with those two assholes, especially.
Yeah, I hope
they're going to use that commission to grandstand, and it's not going to be fun.
Oh no, I need that to not be televised.
Yeah.
Don't televise it. Fuck them. Like zero, you get zero, nothing. You answer questions, you assholes, and that's it. Like you don't get any TV time. Fuck off. It says in all, the panel issued 5 new subpoenas, which included demands for records and testimony. The subpoenas were also issued to Henry Enrique Tarrio, who at the time was the head of the Proud Boys, Elmer Stuart Rhodes, president of the Oath Keepers, Robert Patrick Lewis, who is the chairman of the First Amendment Praetorian. God, these guys are such fucking nerds. Which provides security at multiple rallies leading up to January 6th. The only time I ever remember the word Praetorian is from Gladiator, where when he's being taken away in the beginning and he escapes and he's like, Praetorian! And the guy turns around and he throws a fucking sword in the guy's chest. It was awesome.
Yep.
That's it. And I hope that happens to that guy. So I'm cool with it. Where's Russell Crowe? Throw a Roman sword into a man's chest from a distance. This is all very fine. I don't think you're going to get anything out of the Oath Keepers or the Proud Boys specifically. However, I do think you might be able to make some of them flip. Apparently, Enrique Tarrio
apparently is an informant already.
Yeah, so. he had flipped on people. He was just like, let me tell you about everybody in the courtroom. Like,
yes.
All of these motherfuckers are evil. Let me go, please. I'm so scared. yeah, a real man's man, this Enrique Tarrio guy. You guys would be the worst. You'd be the worst gang members of all time. Like, you don't just don your crew out at the first sign of trouble.
Fuck, you'd be the worst revolutionaries of all time.
Oh, yeah. Give me freedom or give me a nice warm bed. I really don't.
Freedom, please. give me freedom or give me a less in prison sentence.
Yes.
I will dime out whoever you want me to.
Don't tread. Well, you can tread on me if
tread, so. Tread lightly on me.
Tread lightly on me. I like that idea for a show title, actually. Ever so lightly. tread lightly on me. Yeah, it's so yeah, these guys I think the Oath Keepers are like the Proud Boys are, they're like the young punks of this game, right? They're all like, let's drink beers and fight each other and fucking stupid. They're like internet trolls, basically, right? They get physical, but they're mostly just internet trolls, you know, in real life. The Oath Keepers are some serious old school motherfuckers. Like, these guys are like, they want to ferment a serious, like, gun-to-gun battle with the government. Like, they do. They have for a long time. You're probably not going to get much out of them. Though, I think there was talk that Robert Patrick Lewis had been kind of talking a little bit like, not really trying to go to jail. But Enrique Tarrio is going to sing like a fucking bird. Like he is. That dude is not trying to go to prison. Never in the history of criminal organizations has there been more of a fucking stool pigeon since Tekashi 6ix9ine. Enrique Tarrio. So, I'm not looking forward to seeing the bullshit that comes out of, like you said, out of Stone and Alex Jones's mouth. But Stone already did Alex Jones already did a video. He was like, I'm not going to not answer the subpoena. I'm just going to plead the fifth because I don't want to get arrested and I don't want to testify because then they're going to try to say I lied because you're going to lie because you're a liar. So I'm just going to plead the fifth. So he's turned himself in, but he's pleading the fifth. Like, he don't want that smoke. That's fine. You plead the fifth if you want to.
I wonder if he's going to try to do it through Zoom. He's got to save some money now. He's going to have some debts to pay. So.
They're going to light his ass up. They're going to light his ass up. Good. And look, he says he's going to plead the fifth, but there's nothing interesting about watching Alex Jones. That one, if he says he's going to plead the fifth, I put that one on TV. You know why? Because if Alex Jones is a showman, so you got to know which of these assholes you're playing with. He's not going to go on television and say, I plead the fifth to every question. He's got to get out there and he's got to fucking say his shit. He's going to have, and then, like, he's got to do that. Get your questions together and just goat this motherfucker, dude. He's easy. Because he's got to, I'd be like, you said in an interview on X Date that Trump people told you that you were going to be the guy out front handling this. So is that not true? Are you not the guy? Like, that never happened. Oh, so you're not the guy. Like, so you're just like a total, you're a fake. You're a charlatan, right? They would never deal with you because you're not a serious, big enough guy. He couldn't help himself, dude. He is an ego fucking maniac. He'd be like, I am the guy. Like, he would go crazy. He couldn't hold it together. Use it.
I don't know though because he does seem to be cowed when in front of official proceedings. Like, it's one thing to fucking talk big on the radio,
not on TV, dude.
It's another thing when you're under oath.
Not on TV. That guy can't help it, yo. He is a whore for media attention. If like his case where he had to go up against the Sandy Hook parents and stuff like that, that shit's not televised. Put a camera in front of that motherfucker. He can't hold it. He can't hold it in. He's got to play to his audience. He can't let his audience see him as just saying, I plead the fifth. He got to give him some TV shit because he's got to be able to play those clips on his show to get money and shit like that. He got to grift off of that. So he's going to want to say some shit. Play to him.
Yeah, he already sent out the Save InfoWars email apparently in wake of the
Sandy Hook. Oh, I'm televising that one. Roger Stone, fuck him. No, you give that guy nothing. You give that guy nothing. He's a snake. Fuck him. Alex Jones is a charlatan. Right, like he's a snake oil salesman who wants to, you know, sell his bullshit. But Roger Stone is like, he's a knife you in the back snake. Fuck that guy. Give that guy no quarter, no media attention. I'd be like, you come in, you sit in a dark room, we ask you questions, you get the fuck out of here. Beat it, asshole. Like, you give
you
that guy.
You know what'd be cool? You know what'd be cool? If Roger Stone died, like, that'd be pretty fun.
I mean, yes. I mean,
I would enjoy that very much, is all I'm saying.
If that happened, I mean, we'd have to play Celebrate by Kool and the Gang.
We would.
I feel like we'd have to. Crab Rave. You gotta hit him with a Crab Rave.
Yeah. On that one.
But it's, I don't know, man. I feel like you use Alex Jones, you use that insane egomania to your advantage. Like, I don't think he could hold it. I don't think he could. He might be able to start, But you just keep asking him. You just keep like, you keep ratcheting up those questions. They just ratchet that shit up until he just fucking loses his mind. Cause he's gonna say it. He cannot go in there and pretend that he had nothing to do with it if he thinks in his insane fucking mind that he was supposed to be the guy. No way, dude. He's never gonna be able to do that. No. Nah. And if he pleads the fifth the whole time, who cares? All right, good. Gives a fuck.
Talk of egomaniacs.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was gonna say this talk of egomaniacs transitions nicely into the next story on the docket.
Are we at the Taekwondo story yet?
Oh no, we're almost there.
Oh. Trump allies try to pressure him not to run in 2024 because they're like, dude, you might lose. So you'd be like a two-time loser. Like, you sure you want to do that? I am very much on record saying that I did not think that he would actually run for president once they asked him for his tax returns, but that, you know, like that never happened. I'm not going to say he's not going to run.
I think if you're a Republican who doesn't want him to run, I think that this tact is probably the most effective one to take.
Mm-hmm.
Because like the point that they're making to him is if you run again and you lose, whether it's to Biden again or whether it's to Harris or whoever else wins the nomination, then you're just going to be labeled as a loser. Like how many people have lost two presidential elections that are looked at favorably in the annals of history, despite the fact that he won one? Like, despite the fact that he
won one.
Doesn't
matter.
Doesn't matter. Like, he kind of becomes, like, slightly more successful Ross Perot at that point. And really, it's also the American people fucking telling him, beyond a shadow of a doubt, we don't want you ever again. Get the fuck out of my face.
Yep. So, all right. All that being said, you think he runs? Think he runs?
Yeah, of course. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think he does.
Because Donald Trump has never listened to the good advice of anyone around him. So.
Unless he dies.
He's not a rational human being. Right. Yeah.
Unless he dies.
Which, you know.
Yep, fingers crossed. Here's hoping. I think he runs. Like I said last week, I think he picks an absolute bonkers VP. And like Ivanka or Michael Flynn, just somebody
or nobody.
Ooh,
baby. Just
Trump,
me.
Trump, 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 2020 or 2024.
And then what we'll do is I have a great idea. I'm not going to run with the vice president. You elect Trump. You're getting Trump only. And here's what we do. We have a show on Trump TV or OANN or whatever. I pick 14 of the most able candidates, and the winner and they'll you know, go through many challenges. The winner I will appoint vice president. We'll call it the apprentice. I mean, we'll call it the vice president. And
dude, I could 100% see him doing something. I could 100% see him.
Yes.
That. And people would be like, that seems reasonable. And I'm like, does it seem reasonable? Yeah.
Think of how much money this would make. It'd be the highest rated show on TV. Everyone would talk about it. And he's right. Like, it would be. Because that would be insane.
It would be fucking nuts. And everyone would be like, is Omarosa going to win again? I don't know. I don't think she won the first time. I mean, who cares? I thought she was a horrible person. And I still do. I don't know. I think he does run. I think he does run. And I think he runs because he's a massive egomaniac. But I think he loses.
If he was smart, he would just feign running just to get money and then just fuck off before it became like make or break time.
I mean, there's a high chance that happens, right? That does, yeah. That's still a very real possibility. But I think if he runs, honestly, he could win, right? Because he's trying to rig the system. That's absolutely true. And I think, you know, the right wing is like, well, you know, let's make it so these states have these AGs that we like and all this other shit. But I think that if he is on that ballot, I think people absolutely go, oh, fuck that. And they come out in droves. I do. I don't think, like, America is a lot of things. We're not a look back kind of country, dude. We're just like, we're done with that. Full fucking steam ahead. Like, oh, but what about facts? Facts don't fucking matter. Just go, go, go. Like, I don't, I just don't see a scenario where, like, liberally or, democratic type voters say, yeah, let's try that again. I'm just going to stay home. No, no. They can hate Joe Biden all they want. No way. No way. Like, there's not enough apathy in the world. There's not enough apathy in the world. I think people were like, we got rid of this fucker one time. We'll do it again. Like, nah, I like, oh, the lines are 8 hours long in Georgia. People are just like, and keep them open, motherfucker. I ain't going nowhere. Fuck this guy. And that's exactly what happened the last time. They were so sick of him. The idea that we got through it and that we could possibly go through another 4 years of it, I think people wouldn't stand by it. They wouldn't abide it. So that doesn't mean he won't try to cheat. Of course he will.
Yeah.
But
better show up first in 2022 before we worry about 2024.
That's correct. That is a big point, which I don't think we will, which is a problem. Should probably drop. Look, got to tell you, man, if you're waiting to drop that whole getting rid of student debt thing, make sure you do it in time enough for 2022 where people can remember, because that would sure be great. If you were just like, no more student debt. Well, that's not fair.
I mean, honestly, maybe we wait until closer to the midterms.
No, that's what I'm saying. No, you can't do it now because people don't remember shit. People don't remember.
That's true.
I drop it like.
What if Joe Biden is
4 weeks
saving
out
all those EOs in that holster till summer, you know, summer, fall next year?
I wouldn't be mad about it.
Good old Wiley Joe.
Like, yo, because it's like, well, you're just paying off the voters. Yeah.
And
what the fuck?
Welcome to politics, my dude.
Like, so what? Like,
yeah, this is a what have you done for me lately type of business.
Yeah. No, people don't you can't drop it a year ahead of time. People don't remember shit. Right? That gives chance for people to like look it over and destroy it in their minds of like how it wasn't enough or whatever. Nah, you dropped that shit like 3 weeks
ago. Or somehow blame like, oh, gas prices went up. Must be because he canceled student debt.
Right.
Asshole.
Some stupid shit. Right. Nah, you dropped that shit 3 weeks out. Boom. Looking for this? There you go. So, now that's what I would do. Like, I would be like, look, AOC, come here. Come to my office for a second. I got you. I'm going to wait 3 weeks out. Look, run your shit. Talk shit about me. Don't give a fuck. But just know what's coming. She'd be like, all right. Like, all right, cool. We good. I'll see you in a couple weeks. And I would drop that shit, and I'd have the squad standing next to me when I did it. That'd be like,
do it on the first day of early voting in all the states that ever.
No, the night before.
The night before. Yeah. Yep.
People get a nice rest. You drop it at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon on that day. People hear about it when they get home. They're like, what the fuck? They go check their account. It's zero balance. They go crazy. They sleep good that night, and they get up, and they go vote for your ass and your whole team the next day. Yep.
Anyone with student debt, Joe Biden's like, hey, remember me. Remember old Joe when you go to the ballot box.
That's right. Run those ads, man.
Click that D.
That's right. You're welcome. The D is for debt that you don't have anymore. You're fucking welcome. So yeah, I don't know if he'll run. Likely he will, because he's an egomaniac. But again, if I'm being honest, and I think I can speak for Brad, we hope that he dies. So it'd be great if he did. It would just be great, like in a lot of ways, but it would be really great, before he would declare.
As I said, when he contracted COVID, his death would be a net positive for the United States of America and the world. Yes.
Human history.
And the universe and the galaxy.
Yeah. Like, aliens are like, yes, I fucking hated that guy. This Week in Stupid, my personal favorite representative, Louis Gohmert, announces that he is running for Texas Attorney General. He said, hey, man, this was going to be contingent on whether he could raise $1 million in 10 days. He fucking did, which is awful. I assume that $1 million is to go put his tooth back in his mouth that fell out during a press conference. But maybe not. I don't know. But he is joining a crowded primary to unseat GOP incumbent Ken Paxton for state attorney general. But yeah, he's he says, look, man, he's quotes a priority will be election integrity so that every legal vote counts. Though our current AG has had two terms, it seems he really started working harder after so many of his most honorable and very top people in the AG office left, complaining of criminal conduct. If you allow me, I will not wait to be my busiest until after some bad press about legal improprieties. I'll start boldly protecting your rights on day one. Gohmert lists priorities like unconstitutional mandates, parental consent, and immigration at the southern border and voting laws. Look, Louis Gohmert is one of the worst Congress people ever, as far as intelligence goes. I don't know if he's a nice guy. I would presume that he is a dick, just by the words that he says out loud. And again, he's a bit of a buffoon. But this could get him out of Congress, and I like that.
It just running in the primary would get him out of Congress, because he'd be in that primary and not in the other one.
Good day. So
yes,
and I think the chances of him winning
Gohmert's candidacy.
Here's the thing: I don't think he's likely to win this. So we might.
And even if he does, he won't be worse than Ken Paxton because Ken Paxton sucks.
Yes, that's correct. So. This feels like a win for America, perhaps a massive loss for Texas, but you live in Texas.
So. I think a win for America and a status quo for Texas.
just a pure lateral move for Texas.
Yeah, so, lateral move. I mean, say what you will about Louis Gohmert. He has not been credibly accused of crimes yet, as Ken Paxton has. So
no, dude, Ken Paxton is super corrupt. Super crazy. Yeah. Isn't he up for something like serving like 99 years in jail or some crazy
show? Something stupid. Yeah. Like Ken Paxton literally probably did some serious crimes. Louis Gohmert, to our knowledge at least, hasn't yet. Yes. Being the operative word.
But like, I feel like when it comes to crimes, like you got to be like somewhat smart, right? Like Louis Gohmert is correct. Dumb. Like he's dumb. He's going to be a shit AG, but he's just dumb. We still got to take the LSATs, Brad. Gotta work on that.
That's true.
Getting him out
maybe,
of Congress.
Maybe this will also free up more time for him to change the orbital pattern of the planet. Also,
I mean, how much time do you really need, Brad? Brad, just plant some trees. Oh, he is a real person.
What if we take a whole bunch of rockets and put them on one side of the planet and just ignite them all sides simultaneously? It'll knock us further away from the sun or closer to. Either way, we're fucked.
That's exactly how science works.
Yeah, either way, we're screwed. So, oh
my God, just get Superman to go fly out and just push it. Yeah, Louis Gohmert, moron.
Probably saw Superman 1 and was just like, wow, I can't believe that's how time travel works. Like, yep, it's true, Louis Gohmert.
Yep. He's like, Superman 4, that fucking liberal movie where he takes all of the nuclear weapons and puts them in a big net in space? What? That was dumb. That doesn't make any sense. Next up, and certainly last but not least, ex-president Donald K. Trump, the K stands for 3 Ks. It's a Colin Jost joke. It's very funny to me. What did he do that? He did it on Stephen K. Banning. The K stands for 3 Ks. ex-president Donald J. Trump, given a 9th-degree black belt in Taekwondo. I think we can say definitively Taekwondo is the worst martial art. right? I think.
Well, now I mean, if Donald Trump is a black belt in your preferred in your form of martial arts, then by default you are the worst.
Yeah, the ninth degree. This is the highest one. This is the Dan belt. So the Trump now has an honorary ninth Dan belt in Taekwondo. The ninth Dan belt is given to is the highest level a person can achieve in Taekwondo, which is pretty cool, I suppose. And I was trying to figure out why did this happen, right? There's a picture of him.
I have no idea. Like I am as flabbergasted as you. So first of all, I've never seen an honorary belt handed down from a martial arts governing body. Like, you see, of course, you see, like, colleges that hand out, like, honorary, like, degrees and shit like that all the time. Sure. I've literally never seen this before. I've never seen, like, you know, fucking, you know, Kang from Kung Fu, like, walking around, like, here's an honorary belt, like, just to, because here's for your service. Like, why? Like, why are you giving this to Donald Trump? I don't understand.
Well, here's the thing. So, I did a little digging. Yeah. Did a little digging. I don't remember if it was in this article or a different article. Oh, it is actually in this article. It says Trump isn't the first world leader to receive the honorary ninth Dan belt. Who would be the other world leader? Don't read. Who do you think is the other world leader who has received the ninth level Dan belt in Taekwondo?
It's not Kim Jong-un, is it? Because the picture they showed had like a framed photograph of him and Kim Jong-un like hanging out like bros behind him.
No, it's Trump's fucking homeboy. Vladimir Putin.
Oh, it's Putin?
Yeah. So apparently the people in charge of the Taekwondo like governing body are a bunch of right wing assholes. Like, they love right wing strongmen. So yeah, they're issued by Kikkowon president, Lee Dong Sup. Trump received the honorary belt at his Mar-a-Lago resort in Palm Beach, Florida. Kikkowon posted an exchange to its Facebook page where Trump has been seen wearing a traditional Taekwondo uniform outfitted with the black Dan belt. Yo, there's a picture of Trump like wearing a gi. Like, it's hilarious. There is nothing about Donald Trump that says Taekwondo or physical sports or kicking your leg up above your waist ever. I just find this funny. This is a lovely participation trophy that he received, which he didn't even participate.
It is certainly a participation trophy. You are not wrong about that.
But he didn't even participate. Like, he didn't.
Correct.
He did nothing for this. Here's the funny thing. The picture, if you can find, it pretty easily when you Google the story. The picture of him getting him in the gi, standing there with the Dan belt on and everything. That picture looks like it's taken in the Oval Office, right? Like, when you look, it looks like the Oval Office.
Is that his office in Mar-a-Lago?
Yes. That loser refitted his office in Mar-a-Lago to look like the Oval Office.
I mean, I would expect nothing less, to be quite honest with you.
Do you know he still holds weekly cabinet meetings?
Wait, with his actual cabinet?
With people from his former cabinet, yes.
Wow. Really?
Yeah.
Is it just so they can like suck his dick, basically?
I assume that is.
I would assume so as well.
That is what they're doing. What a fucking
Do those people
loser.
Not have anything better to do?
No.
They're on a Wednesday?
No, they quite literally don't. They quite literally don't have anything better to do. Can you imagine? Can you imagine quitting your job or your job just ending? Like, Brad, you used to work at GameStop, right? That's we can say now. You don't work there anymore. Like, but like, you still had to go in for weekly meetings.
Mm-hmm.
Like, now. They were just like, Brad, come on in, chat with us about how we were going to offer this guy $4 for his PlayStation 5. Like, come on. Right? Like, every week. Like, well, we're not going to pay you, but you got to fly down here.
What would be the impetus for that? Like, do they think they'll be invited back if he somehow becomes president again? Is that the only reason that they're just like, I'll just hang out, I guess?
And they're terrified of him.
So if you're Ben Carson, how have you not parlayed your previous secretary position into a sweet lobbying gig where that's worth a lot more money than the cabinet position and a lot dumb. Less work.
You're dumb.
Apparently.
Like, you're real dumb. I mean, does he have any sway at HUD? I mean, he just probably had a briefcase full of Ritz crackers. I mean, wasn't doing
that's probably
anything.
True. I mean, honestly, that's a fair point. Is that like what value does Ben Carson have to a lobbying firm or Betsy DeVos or anyone like that? No, probably not a whole lot, to be quite frank.
I mean, why does Betsy DeVos need a job? You're a billionaire.
Also true. Like, what are you doing?
I'm gonna go to work today. Why? For what? Like, I'm going to take my fucking jet and go fly it anywhere else.
Yeah, that's like just live off your fucking inheritance. Like, who cares?
Dude, I wouldn't. Imagine me working with $1 billion in the bank.
I mean, we would still do this.
Sure. But, like, I'm not going to get riled up about it. Like, Jay, did you see that story? I'm like, dude, I'm a billionaire. I don't give a shit about this.
Yeah, stunning reversal of fortune that Jay all of a sudden favors the Trump tax.
I'd be like, dude, like, oh, these guys were making it rain. I loved it.
Let's like, in actuality, these were pretty amazing.
So. That was a good 4 years for me. Like, yeah. No, that would be the only thing. I would just do this for fun. And I'd have like a crazy studio, like a crazy nice studio, and I would just do it for fun. That's it. Like, whatever. But otherwise, no, fuck off. I'd pay you guys ridiculous money because I had it. Like,
yeah.
Here's $100,000 a year to just like come less bullshit about movies and video games. Like, all right, cool.
Yes,
sounds awesome.
Fantastic.
I will happily do that job. Like, yeah, that sounds awesome. All right, I think that is it. A slightly shorter show this week. Not a whole lot of super crazy news, but I have a feeling next week is gonna like we never get
too.
We never get too
don't
low. We never get too reasonable weeks in a row, dude. Never. No.
Don't will that into existence.
They're gonna invade the Capitol. They're invading the Capitol over Thanksgiving. That's what's gonna happen. Some crazy shit.
I'll just say, bro, it's fucking Thanksgiving or fucking stealth colonization day, according to Micah. Isn't he the one that's like adamantly against Thanksgiving because it's just a colonist holiday?
No.
I don't know.
No. He might be fundamentally, but that doesn't stop him from shoving turkey in his mouth. Get out of here.
That's true.
And it shouldn't. But what about the Indians? Yeah, I think what they did to the Indians was terrible, but my mom's macaroni and cheese is the fucking bomb. Get out of here. I'm not going to sit home and be sad. Shut up. Those colonists are dead. I'm alive. I'm fine. That's how it works. I don't celebrate any American holidays. I just like to eat and drink and hang out with my friends and family. That's it.
Hey, that's fair.
I think that's all of the holidays for most people. Hey, do you celebrate 4th of July?
Honestly, at this point, it should be. Yeah.
I don't celebrate 4th of July.
I'm eating fucking burgers. That's what I'm doing.
Yeah, exactly. as Ronald Reagan would want me to do or whatever.
Yeah, that's right.
as Taft would want me to do, I'm eating way more than I should. Taft was fat. That's the joke. All right, that's it for us. Didn't he once get stuck in a bathtub at the White House?
Is that the rumor? But then he got like super fit apparently.
Did he?
Yeah, apparently like he was like super fat when he was president, and then like he got tired of being made fun of, so he got like jacked when he was a Supreme Court justice. He was fucking shredded apparently.
That's not true.
About this. No, I'm being dead serious.
Was that on an episode of More Perfect?
Andy's a huge Taft guy. I guarantee he will back me up on this story.
Was Taft shredded? Did he have a six pack? Alright, I gotta find out
about all that.
Alright, I'm starting the rumor. Taft.
I just want to imagine Willard Taft like lifting like the giant dumbbell over his head, yeah. like the vaudeville and like Strongman used to do back in the day.
No, that's you know what? I'm starting the rumor. Taft, absolute fucking shredded to the gills, absolute gym rat beast. It's true story. Tatted up, he had one full arm sleeve done, just said Taft, like, yeah. And he had bathtub written on the other arm. It's crazy. I do like the idea of him just like being tired of being made fun of. He's like, nah, fuck that, I'm gonna get jacked. Like, you know, fuck these.
Listen, I think he's fascinating anyway. He's like, hey, you were president. What do you want to do now? I'm going to sit on the Supreme Court because why the fuck not?
Yeah, go fuck yourself.
I'm Willard Taft, bitches.
I'm going to look that up. Did he get in shape? Is that true?
I think he did.
How much did Taft weigh during his presidency? Thank you, Google. 354 pounds? Holy shit. Yeah, he did lose weight.
I think he lost. Yeah.
How did Taft lose weight? President William Howard Taft, the country's heaviest commander-in-chief, and a high-profile yo-yo dieter in his day, lost 60 pounds in the early 1900s on a low-carb diet with the help of a diet doctor. All right. So he got under 200 or under 300. That's pretty significant. Yeah. See, low carb.
And again, hard to do without keto in the 1900s.
Now, he was on paleo. He was like, I'm gonna eat like our ancestors or whatever fucking horse shit people do. I only eat old grains and fucking bear meat or whatever fucking bullshit. No, just eat less. You can eat whatever you want. Just eat less. Just calm down. All right, there you go. William Howard Taft fucking shredded. That's crazy. I do like the idea of him just being jacked. That's just funny to me. Yeah, so in 1905, when Taft was serving as Secretary of War, he hired London-based physician Nathan York Davies, the author of the popular diet book Foods for Fat, a treatise on corpulency and the dietary for its care. He used that as his weight loss regimen. For 10 years, Taft and his doctor exchanged letters about food intake, weight loss, digestive issues, and even bowel movements. All right, that's more than I ever needed to know about him. Taft weighed himself almost every day, just like I do. And once a week, his secretary sent copies of his weight records to the doctor. York Davies encouraged his patient to be physically active. Horseback riding was Taft's main activity. Does that really help you lose weight? That just sounds like that hurts the horse.
Bounces your head a lot, so
I guess he did calisthenics and other exercises with what he called a physical culture man. That sounds like a trainer you're sleeping with, which he would call his personal trainer. The physician spelled out exactly what Taft should eat and what time of day. The diet included lots of lean meats, fish, and vegetables without butter and gluten, biscuits. Which Taft ordered from a bakery in London. There was a list of forbidden and permitted foods. Sugars and sweets were forbidden. Permitted foods, vegetables, and lean meats. Taft dropped from 314 in December 1905 to 255 in April of 1906 during his first course of treatment. His weight loss plan, quote, seemed quite similar to what we would call a low-carb diet, but people didn't even talk about carbs at the time. The diet was roughly 2,000 to 2,100 calories a day, with 30% of the calories coming from carbohydrates, 30% from protein, 40% from fat. So there you go. If William Taft can go from 354 all the way down to 255, there's hope for us all.
There is.
Shredded.
Gotcha. And what a positive message to leave this on. Enjoy American Thanksgiving, everyone.
Yeah. Eat yourself until you become fucking Taft, because I am. All right. We'll see you guys next time.
See ya.